The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, Josh. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. I want you to look at it, John chapter 17, if you will. And look at verse 11. The Bible says, and of course, I understand what is happening now, okay? Understand in John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus is praying in the garden. So understand there is the garden prayer in John chapter 14, verse 31. So he leaves the garden. He's heading to the upper room that you'll find that he arrives at in John chapter 18 and verse 1. Somewhere along the way, traveling from that which is the garden to that which is the upper room, Jesus finds a place to get alone, and Jesus finds a place to pray. As Jesus finds himself alone and he finds a place to pray, he's not praying with someone. I've been in meetings, I have been in camp meetings, I have been in churches where they'll call the men down to pray and everybody comes down and they pray, and churches do it different all over America. Sometimes you'll see churches when people come to pray and they pray at the altar, they'll pray quietly and they'll speak to the Lord. Sometimes in churches around America, when they call men down to pray, they all come down and they'll begin to pray almost in unison, out loud, very audibly do they pray. There's nothing wrong with either one of those. And God does answer prayer. But there's something very special about when somebody just kind of gets alone. When they're alone and they're praying, maybe like you in your bedroom, maybe you kneel beside your bed and you pray before you go to bed. Maybe when you go in the bedroom and you lay on the bed and you just pray, nobody else is in there. It's just you and the Lord. Maybe you'll take a walk, maybe down in a meadow someplace, maybe a country road. Maybe you'll take a walk, maybe over in a park somewhere. It's just you and the Lord. And you begin to pray. You know, that's when it becomes prayer in earnest. You're not really putting on a show. You're really not doing it. You're not praying with anyone to, you know, maybe it doesn't start off that way, but sometimes when you do pray with somebody, if you're not careful and you're not really submitted to the Lord, you might put on a little bit of a show, or maybe not intentionally, but, you know, it kind of ends up that way sometimes. When you pray alone, you get to hear somebody's heart. If you were to be a gnat on their head, or if you were to be a fly on the wall, and you hear somebody pray all by themselves, you get to see their heart. Now tonight, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see Jesus' heart. This, as far as I know, the only recorded prayer that we have where we can see his heart in the Bible. John chapter 17, verse 11, let's listen to his heart. Would you do it, please? John chapter 17, verse 11, he says, "Now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." So the first part of the prayer, you get to see that he has an earnest desire that people be one, close, as he and his heavenly Father is. The Bible says in verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." So he says, I want to keep them close, and I promise you that I have kept them close. He says, "And now I come to thee." So he's saying, "Father, I want you to know I did my job, but now I'm coming to you on their behalf." So he begins to change the prayer a little bit. He says, "Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But I pray," now watch what he says. He says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I want to speak to you tonight on how to improve your relationship with God and others. Here's what he's doing along the way. He is saying, I've got a prayer that I'm praying, and I'm praying. Now, I want you to understand, how is it that we could take and improve our relationship? I want you to think about some things tonight. What is it that I could do to be able to improve the relationship that I have with God and with others? Here's some things that he says in that particular prayer. He says, I pray that there'll be one as we are. I could answer that prayer tonight. I could be one with those that are brothers and sisters, those, if you would please, that's part of the pastoral staff, those that are members of Parkside Baptist Church, as God the Father and His Son were one. I could answer that prayer. I can be the one, if you would please, that decides that I want to be close to Him. I can be the one, if you will, that will do things that He wants me to do and not do things that He does not want me to do if I'm close to Him. So let me try to just sum it up tonight by giving you a couple of statements, if you will, along with many scriptures about how is it that we can grow in our relationship with God. And wait a minute, how is it that we could take those very same principles and grow in our relationship with others? What is it that we could do? Is there something that God would give us in the Word of God that would help us to grow in our relationship this way and our relationship this way? Let me give you a couple of statements. Statement number one, obey His commands. Obey His commands. The easiest way to get close to somebody is to find out what they command and obey them. Let me give you a couple of them. The Bible talks about, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So what do? I go soul winning. Why? Now, by the way, if it's something that He commands, you don't pray about it, you don't think about it, you just do it. If your parent gives you a command, you don't stand there and say, well, let me think about obeying that. Let me pray about whether I should. No, what happens is when God gives a command, we simply obey the command. That's the easiest way to get close to someone. That's the easiest way to please someone. Find out what commands they have in their life and obey them. Statement number one. So you go soul winning. Why? Because God commands it. What do? Statement number two. You obey your parents. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You don't pray about that. Well, I wonder if I should obey them. I wonder if they're right. I wonder if they could be wrong. I wonder if maybe I know more than they know. I wonder if they know what they're talking about. No, God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What about giving the tithes and offerings? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So God says to bring the tithes and the offerings into that which is the storehouse or the local church in our day. Now what do? You do that because it is a command. We don't say, well, God, let me tell you know, money's been tight this week. No. Who's in charge of your life? Who's the one that gave you what little money you have? If you honor Him by putting Him first with the money that you do have, He might trust you to give you more. Okay? And so there's the tithes and offerings. I'm talking about obeying His commands. Go soul winning, obey the parents, bring tithes and offerings. Hey, what about for the wives? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, by the way, it is very difficult for a wife to obey the husband that's not obeying the Lord. It's hard. Because you're out of line, and when you're out of line, it's difficult for her to have a desire to stay in line unless she desires to be out of line too. Okay? And then you got two backsliders instead of one. All right? But the Bible does say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. God gave you one. It doesn't say submit yourselves unto your own boss. Now, by the way, if you're not going to submit yourself unto your boss, be honest and resign. Okay? But As long as you're working there, give him that which is just due to him. But please keep your priority right and keeping your husband, if you would please, as the one that you submit to. All right? Now, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Here's what it says about husbands. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. All right? So you're supposed to love the wife. You say, but she's not always lovable. Doesn't say love her if she's lovable. Doesn't say love her only when she is not going through a mood change. She will always be going through a mood change. You know, you can't look at it that way. You can't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll love her when she's happy. No, God says that you're supposed to love your wives. Love your wife. You know, they can laugh one minute, cry the next. Come on. You know, she goes to the bedroom, she's all mad. You go to the bedroom, you lay on the bed, you say, honey, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. You know what that means? That means something is wrong. Then you say, well, let's talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, all right, now I'm saying this. I'm saying that, please understand, you're supposed to love your wives. You're supposed to do that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, or Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to be that one as a father also that doesn't provoke the children to wrath. I'm not always supposed to be on their case about everything. Okay, you're not supposed to provoke them. All right, so the easiest way to get close to somebody is to find out what they desire so much that it becomes a command. What are they commanding of you? When I went to work for Dr. C.R. Williams, of whom I worked for 8 years down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi at the Central Baptist Church, what I did, I evaluated him and I found out what his commands was. You really want to please your parents, find out what the biggest priorities are in their life, what they command of you. You want to please your boss, you find out what the biggest thing in his or her life is, what those commands are. Learn them, study them, find out what they command in their life. Okay, statement number one, obey his commands. Statement number two, refuse to do the things that he hates, that she hates. As a relationship with God that he hates, in that relationship with others that the boss, or if you would please, the husband, the wife, whatever the relationship is, that they hate. Refuse to do the things that they hate. Now, there's several things in your Bible that God says that he hates. Now, by the way, some of these things that I'm going to mention tonight, you might say, I'm a little bit more passive than God. I don't hate them. But if you're going to get close to God, you're going to have to be able to walk beside him, not just in his love life, but in his hate life. You know, God expects us to be close to him. Let me give it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 21, or chapter 12 and verse 31. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 31. The Bible says, thou shalt do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord he hath hated. And the Bible says, have they done unto their gods. So every abomination that the Lord God had hated, they have done unto their gods. Now what is it that they did unto their gods that God himself hated? The Bible says, for even their sons and their daughters have they burned in the fire to their gods. Here's a little baby, then wasn't old enough to make a choice. Wasn't old enough to vote. And say, I would like to have a say in this. They took that little baby to the top of a volcano and they hoisted that little baby by throwing that little baby into the mouth or the lip of the volcano to be burned. They sacrificed the baby. That sounds like abortion today. You say, I believe in woman's right. I believe in everybody's right. I don't want to be exclusively just for the woman. I believe that the baby ought to have a right to vote too. Now, may I say, listen, God said when they did this, that was an abomination. What does the word abomination mean? It means that God abhors it. It makes God so sick that God, if you would please, abhors it so much. You ever get so sick about something that it tears you up on the inside? I mean, you just tore up on the inside. I mean, it just messes with you all on the inside. God said when these were taking their sons and their daughters and they were casting them, hoisting them into that which is the upper mouth of a volcano, he says that is an abomination. And that's what that word abomination means. It means that God literally abhors it. It makes him sick to the degree that he could regurgitate. He could throw up simply because of the fact that he said this is not right. Let me give you another one. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. We have a raging society right now that is saying it is man and man, woman and woman, and God says no. God created one man for one woman, for a lifetime. Now understand this. God said, don't get mad at the preacher. Yeah, every time I hit on this, somebody would text me, somebody will call me, somebody will email me, and they'll get mad. And that is the society in which we now live. But I'm telling you, God says that when a man lies with a man, that's talking about homosexuality. God says when a man lies with a man, when a woman lies with a woman, it is an abomination. Hey, listen, if you're a man, be proud that you're a man. If you're a woman, be proud that you're a woman. Hey, let's get back to the old paths. I'm saying this. I'm saying that he said, hey, there's some things that you ought to refuse. There's some things that we ought to refuse to do because these are things or have a part in or pat on the back and lift high simply because God says, I hate those. Abortion, homosexuality. What about this? Wrong dress. Don't get mad at me yet. I'm not done. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, the Bible says, woman shall not wear that pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Listen to it. All that do so are abomination on the Lord our God. You know, by the way, there was a distinctive difference even in our Western civilization, the way that a woman would dress and a man would dress 60, 70 years ago. But today there's not a distinct difference. The teaching here is that there is a garment for the man. There is a garment for the woman. Back then, the ladies would wear garments that were conducive to being a mother, being somebody that was a lady. The men would always wear garments that were conducive to their work, to their labor. There was a distinct difference. Now today, we have taken away the distinctiveness of that. Look, the ladies ought to dress still feminine, like ladies. The men should still dress masculine, like men. When you teach your child to dress more masculine, let me tell you what happens. They will act that way. The more masculine they dress, the more it changes their characteristics of the way that they behave. Even in the school system, they found out that when they had certain rules about the way that somebody would dress, it changed their characteristics. Put a little girl in a frilly dress, little girl, frilly dress. You put her out there playing in the back 40, there's mud, she stays away from the mud puddles. Why? Put her in blue jeans, she goes out there, and she plays in the mud puddles. There is a difference. There is a difference. Most foreign countries that I go to, even in their public school system, they have dress codes where the ladies, girls, are in dresses, skirts. Matthew, you went to the Philippines. Is it true in the Philippines? It is. All right? By the way, even the world knows the difference. You go to a bathroom. Now, I know in Houston, they have a mayor that is trying to make all of the restrooms bisexual. And they're pushing that right now in Houston. I don't think it'll pass. I think it's too good of a place. But even if you go to the bathrooms, here's what you see. They have, even the world knows, there's a picture and a picture. You don't have to be highly educated to figure out which one to go into. What I'm saying is this, there's a distinctiveness. You say, well, man, most churches don't preach this nowadays. Here's what I say about most churches that would prefer not to preach this nowadays. Shame on them. Shame on them. I have three boys. I have one girl. I don't want her to dress like the three boys. You ready for this one? I don't want the three boys to dress like the girl. I want there to be a distinct difference. I tell my daughter, how you dress is what you're going to draw. Girls get it. How you dress is what you're going to draw. Now, I'm just telling you that here's what he says. He says it's an abomination. Let me give you a couple more. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 18, the Bible says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God. It says, for any vow. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. What's that talking about? Prostitution. When a girl, a boy, prostitutes themselves before someone else, before the yoke of marriage, God said, I hate that. Now, by the way, in our day, can I tell you, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. Somebody comes up and says, we have common law marriage. We've been living together for 5 years, common law marriage. In the eyes of God, it's despicable, it's not right, it's not holy, it's not godly. Look, keep your hands to yourself before marriage. Girls, you listen to me. If he is trying to steal, I'm straightforward tonight, he's trying to steal your purity from you before marriage, slap him in the name of the Lord. Keep yourself pure. You say, well, preacher, I've already given it away. Well, don't keep doing it. Don't keep doing it. Don't prostitute yourself. God says, I hate that. Wait a minute. You ready? Not speaking truth. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 7. He says, for my mouth shall speak truth. Truth. Well, there's been some stuff spread sometimes about independent Baptist preachers, independent Baptist churches. Can I tell you, you better search out the truth. Here's what it says. It says, for my mouth shall speak truth. It says, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. God says this. He said, when it's somebody's not speaking truth, he said, it makes me upset in my stomach. And by the way, when somebody doesn't speak truth about you, does it make your stomach upset? Sure it does, if you're human. He says, and it's an abomination. Speak the truth. You say, well, somebody might not like it. They'll have to get over it. They'll have to get over it. But you tell the truth. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. A false balance, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. We talked about soul winning at the 5 o'clock hour. We're a soul winning church. Hey, thank you for the plaque, the nice thing that you gave me. Thank you for that. I'll hang it up. I'll remember it. Thank you. All right, wait a minute. Watch this, if you. Soul winning is important, but there has to be a balance. Somebody says, well, I'm going to go soul winning all day long. No, you got to read your Bible too. No, you need to pray. No, you need some family time. You got to go to work or the family doesn't eat. There's got to be a balance. Got to be a balance. The hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is keep a good balance. Let me tell you, the Christian life is like this. You keep tweaking it. That's all it is. You just keep tweaking it. This day I read this much Bible. This day I went soul winning this many hours. You got to keep tweaking it. That's the Christian life. Well, I'm not spending enough time with the family now. Tweak it. Tweak it. And don't get on this thing either. Hey, let me help you. Don't get on this thing where you become everybody's judge. Well, they're not living the life that I'm now living. Hey, they might be going soul winning and you don't see it, but they're leading more people to Christ than you ever dreamed of. I'm all for all the soul winning times. We do that to help people. We do. That's why we're doing it. Because we do find out that if you go with a group, it is more encouraging. It is more helpful. Are you listening to me? But I know churches all over America don't have a soul winning time, but they do it all the time. Now, I'm not saying back off of the group time. But I'm saying don't come down harshly on people when they don't live their Christianity directly the way you're living yours. You know, some people grow slower. Did you know that? Well, you know, that person joined the church, and I tell you what, they're not what I thought they would be. Well, got news for you. You're not what they thought you would be either. I tell people about our church. I told Nicole this. My wife and I were sitting in her living room, and she was praying about joining the church. I said, let me tell you about our church. We have good curb appeal. Did I tell you this? We have good curb appeal. I said, we love everybody in the front door, but once they get in, you really got to work at it. Because everybody's caught up in their own little worlds. Have you found that to be true, Nicole? Yeah, it's true. I said, our church has, now that's a slap to us. That's a slap to us. That's a shame on us. But you check it out. That's the way you live your life. You live your life zoned. You sit by the same people all the time. You invite the same people over your house all the time. You have your little circle of influence. That's it. That's it. You feel comfortable sitting beside the person you've always been sitting beside. Now, if it's husband and wife, I understand that. I thank God Brother Aaron has his hand, his arm around his own wife. Yeah, I'm looking back there. Brother Aaron said, yeah, man, I'm liking it. You know, hey, that's great. That's great. Glad he's got his arm around his own wife and not five others. But there has to be a balance. There has got to be a balance. You've got to check out ways to have balances in your life. And sometimes you have to tweak them. Now, by the way, just because you get out of balance doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad Christian. Sometimes it's just tweaking it a little bit. Come on. Now, sometimes when I study for a message, Brother Weslowski, I've got to study deeper, longer for one message than I do for another. That doesn't mean that one message is more important than another. It just simply means I have to tweak it. Sometime in prayer, I'll get on my knees. I'll pray through my prayer list. I'll pray for you, and I'll pray quick. Done. Coffee. Sometimes I'll go through it, and I get hung up all over you. And man, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, start sending all these things to my mind about you. And I'll start praying specifically for you. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there has to be a balance. Find the balance. Not everybody has the same balance. Stay with me. You don't expect your husband to have your balance. He's not a woman. Don't try and make him a woman. You listen to me tonight. Husbands, don't expect your wife to be a man. We just read about that. Let her have the emotions. Then you walk away and you say, thank God, I don't have them. But you let her have the emotions. Let your husband be the boring, monotonous, routine type of guy with no spontaneity, no energy, lethargic, barely walking in the house, sitting down in the same chair, wanting to eat the same boring food. And you married him. Keep him. Balance. You ready? I'm saying this. I'm saying, how is it that we can get close to God and others? Obey commands. Statement number two. Here's what I said. Not only obeying his commands, but refusing to do the things he hates. Statement number next. Think about this. I'm going to hasten by answering his request. Here's what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you. That means I beg. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So he says, I've got something that I request. He says, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. You're either being conformed, that's the outwardness, conformed to this world, or you're being transformed, that's inward. The inward will always take place before the outward shows up. That's why you have to be patient with new believers. It always takes place in here. You know, some preachers say, well, I tell you what, they've been coming to church for a year and they've not changed. Might be because of your preaching. It might be because of your discipleship. It might be because you're not praying for them. You're not personally investing in them. Or it might be that it just takes longer because there's some things in their heart they're having a hard time with that you did not. It takes time. The Bible says here, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, so answer the request. Answer the request. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, answer the request. This is not a command. This is not something he hates. He just says, I simply request this of you, that you simply do not become conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, wait a minute. You ready? Answer his prayers. Look what it says. I'm almost done. John 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, now, he says, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. He says, I come to thee, Holy Father, I keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I can answer that. I can try to help you. I want the oneness. I want the oneness. As a pastor, both of you guys pastored. Didn't you, when you pastor, didn't you want oneness in your church? How many years did you pastor? Seven. How many years? 15. Did you want oneness in your church when you pastored? Yeah. Everybody in their church wants oneness. The disciples came together, upper room, remember the story? The Bible says they came together in one accord. Then the room, the place, was shaken. All right? So if ever we're going to go forward to accomplish more for God. Now you understand, I'm an older preacher with a younger heart. You understand that? You understand that when I turned 50, I didn't lose my vision for the world. You understand that my vision overrides the way I feel physically. You understand that? You understand? I went to the hospital. Remember that? Went to the hospital. Dying. Went to the hospital. Don't do this. They checked out all my vitals. They said, man, your heart's working. Said you not had a heart attack. Said your blood pressure's good for right now. And he said, but we need to keep you overnight. I said, I go back to conference. I'll check myself out. He said, you can't do it. It's against doctor's orders. I said, I do what I want. you work for me. So that's not advisable. That's why I said don't do it. I've got the Bonta gals here. They take good care of me. I thought of different people in the church have medical backgrounds. But man, these people watch over me. Brother and Mrs. Bonta got always coming in. How you feeling, Pastor? And always checking up on me. Hey, with them, I'll live for a long time on earth. I was going to say forever, that didn't happen. Long time on earth. I'm not Jehovah's Witness. Long time on earth. I'm saying answer his prayers. Answer his prayers. Here's what he says. He says, look, I pray that they'll be one as we are. You know what I want? Here's what I want. I love the champions. Everybody in this room. Here's what I want. Brother Champion comes up. Every service, he'll come up, he'll take that hand, Brother Denton, he'll put it on me, he'll say, I'm so glad you're my pastor. Got that deep, worry type voice. Marine, I'm so glad you're my pastor. Keep it up. Keep it up. Hey, I love it. I love it. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what we ought to consider. We ought to consider obeying what God wants, keeping his commands, hating the things that he hates, answering his requests, answering his prayers. Look at it in verse 15, John chapter 17. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. That's his prayer. I can keep myself from evil. I don't have to go get drunk. I don't have to go do drugs. I can keep myself from evil. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I can sanctify myself. I can set myself apart. Here, I'm done. I gotta quit. Here you go. Fulfill his promises. Psalm 37 and verse 4, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Fulfill his promises. Last statement, obey his desires. Obey his desires. Okay, Psalm 37 and verse 4, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall delight thyself also, it says, in the Lord also. He says, don't leave me out. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. All right, now wait a minute. So here's what we understand tonight. We understand in order to grow in our relationship with the Lord, here's what we do. We first off learn his commands. What's he commanding? What's your husband commanding? What are some commands that your wife has? What are some commands that your parents have? Then you find out, what do they hate? What are the things that really bothers them? What are some of the things that really bothers the Lord that he says, I hate those things? Stop them. Then we answer his request. He didn't say, do it. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He said, I got a request. Then you answer his prayers. You read that in John chapter 17. What's he praying there? What can you answer? Then you fulfill his promises. He said, if you delight in me, I'll give you my desires, your desires. And then you do this. You obey his desires. What are his desires? What are his desires? God has some desires for you to obey. What does he desire? What does he desire? What are some of the things that you could pull up beside him and say, I would be willing to do this for you. I don't desire it. You ready? I don't desire it, but you do. You do. I just want to get so close to you so it doesn't matter what my desires are. What matters is what your desires are. And I just want to please you. I'm done. Sometimes my wife likes to go shopping. Who has a wife that likes to go shopping? Raise your hand. Okay, all right, five of you willing to admit it. Sometimes my wife likes to go shopping, and I'll say, where do you want to go? And she'll have places picked out. Now, because she has certain things she wants to buy. Now, it's different when it comes to food. I'll say, where do you want to go eat? And she'll say, anywhere you want to go. Now, that's a trap. And so I would say, well, you want to go down to Saltgrass? And she said, well, you know, I'm not really ready for Saltgrass tonight. Okay. Where do you want to go? Anywhere you want to go. How about Chick-fil-A? Want to go Chick-fil-A? No, you know, had Chick-fil-A three times this week. Okay. Super. Where do you want to go? honey, really, I'm easy to please. Anywhere you want to go. Oh, that's great. That's great. How about Red Lobster? Want to go Red Lobster? No, no, not in the mood for fish. Okay. Where do you want to go? Really, anywhere? No, really, I think you need to pick the place. You really do. You just pick the place. Brother Hiles, I heard at pastor school what he would do. I thought this was neat, neat concept. He would pick three places. Well, he'd take his wife out, I think it was on Fridays, pick three places to go eat, and Mrs. Hiles would pick one of the three. The next week, she would pick three, and he would pick one of the three. That's pretty neat. That'd save your marriage. Okay, now I'm saying this. I'm saying desires. These two guys are new. These are, well, on staff, they're not new. Matter of fact, he's been here a while and he's old. He has cancer on the nose. That's why he's got this big. He said, "Preacher, you know, the other night he had surgery, and it is terrible. Man, he's got this thing hanging out his nose, you know, for drainage or what, I don't know. But anyway, and so I didn't want him to come to work, you know. We're trying to get people in the church, not chase them away. And plus, he needed the rest, needed to recuperate. And so I said, no, just take the days off you need, recuperate. You rest better at home. Please take care of yourself. We love you. Just take good care of yourself. And so I said, just curious, send me a picture. Send me a picture. You know, I thought, you know, hey, maybe we could show the people. That way people get a burden for him and pray for him. And I saw the picture. I said, no, too scary for the kids. Can't do that. Little kids will run outside. Ah, you know, I thought that was a church, not a haunted house. And so then he asked me, he said, you know, preacher, do you want me to sit on the platform? He said, I've got this big bandage over the nose. Do you want me to sit on the platform? Because, I mean, after all, it looks very awkward. You know, do you want me to sit on, you know, what will people think? You know? And I said, oh, man, our people love you already. You know, I mean, you know, matter of fact, you know, you can probably walk down the steps like this, get down to the end, go out there, just hold a can. They'll put money in it for you. You know? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, desires. Here's what I found out about these two guys. It's really fun to watch them, okay? Both new, both graduated, I think, Hiles Anderson College. Went to college together, I found out. Went to college together. That's trouble waiting to happen right there. I was at the SWORD conference. I preached at that conference, and Sterling, Brother Sterling, got up to lead singing. And we got to talking. You know, we hadn't talked in a long time, and I've kind of forgot some things. He reminded me. He said, you remember we went to high school together? I said, no. He said, yeah, we went to North Carroll High School together. He said, isn't that neat? I'm lean singing at the SWORD conference. He was the conference song leader. He said, I'm lean singing at the SWORD conference, and you're preaching at it, and we both went to a public school. Amen. I graduated, he said, 1978. Of course, I graduated in 1979. And he said, isn't that neat how God brings two public school kids? He was Methodist. I was Catholic. Both got saved. Amen. Amen. Both fundamentalists. Amen. Not ashamed of it. Amen. And he's leaning singing. And I get to preach. I'm watching these two guys. These two guys walking down the hallway. Man, you know, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, here we're just following along, you know. You know. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this. Desires. Desires. You know, the way you get to know somebody is to do things that they desire. But that's how you build relationships. A man's gift maketh room for him. You want to get to know somebody? I don't know who did all this. I kind of got almost a suspicion that there was a few people involved in this. Maybe just one gave all these gifts out. I watched the handwriting or whatever. And I thought, man, somebody is loving somebody. Somebody's loving somebody. Well, isn't that the way it should be? You can tear down people all your life if that's the life you want to live. Or you can choose to build people up all your life. if that's the life you want to live. Oh, preacher, what do I do if somebody stabs me in the back? Here's what you do. You take it out. You take it out. You take it out. Take it out. You hand it to them. Say, try again. Try again. Here's what I'm saying tonight. There's ways to get to know God. You choose which way you want to do it. Ways to build a relationship. You choose which way you want to do it. Father, help us tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.